So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 41 to 43. Since I found no one else as highly elevated as you in simplicity and other qualities of good character, I appeared in this world as Prishnigarbha, or one who is celebrated as having taken birth from Prishni. Purport. In the Treta Yuga, the Lord appeared as Prishnigarbha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Prishnigarbha iti soyam treta yug vayataro lakshyate. Text 42. Translation. In the next millennium, I again appeared from the two of you, who appeared as my mother, Aditi, and my father, Kasyapa. I was known as Upendra, and because of being a dwarf, I was also known as Vamana. Text 43. Translation. O Supremely Chaste Mother, I, the same personality, have now appeared of you both as your son for the third time. Take my words as the truth. Translation. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead chooses a mother and father from whom to take birth again and again. The Lord took his birth originally from Sutapa and Prishni, then from Kashyapa and Aditi, and again from the same father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki. In other appearances also, the Lord said, I took the form of an ordinary child just to become your son, so that we could reciprocate eternal love. Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his Krishna Sandarbha, 96th chapter, where he notes that in text 37, the Lord says, Anuma Vapusha. Anuma Vapusha. Meaning, by this same form. In other words, the Lord told Devaki, this time I have appeared in my original form as Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami says that the other forms were partial expansions of the Lord's original form. But because of the intense love developed by Prishni and Sutapa, the Lord appeared from Devaki and Vasudev in his full opulence as Sri Krishna. In this verse, the Lord confirms, I am the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I appear in full opulence as Sri Krishna. This is the purport of the words Teneva Vapusha. When the Lord mentioned the birth of Prishnigarbha, he did not say Teneva Vapusha, but he assured Devaki that in the third birth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, had appeared, not as his partial expansion, Prishnigarbha, Prishnigarbha and Vamana were partial expansions of Krishna, but in the third birth, Krishna himself appeared. This is the explanation given in the Sri Krishna Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami. Omigan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sargrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Janmashtami means the birth of Lord Krishna, and really what it means is the birth. It's intended to inspire or infuse the birth of Lord Krishna within the hearts of all living entities. Krishna appears 5,000 years ago and sets the scene and performs activities all to attract the minds of the living entities. But ultimately, it's to ignite the fire of devotion in the heart so we can actually see Krishna there. Krishna's in the heart right from the beginning of our sojourn in this material world. But who knows? How many people know that? You know, this unlimited living entities in this material world. And they're all completely forgetful of that fact. So here we see the example of Devaki and Vasudev. How this is the perfection of life. Perfection of life is to gradually develop so much attraction, and then bhava, and then actually real love, prema for the Supreme Lord, that he can manifest himself within the heart. Just like the gopis. You know, it's not that devotional service is static, it's ecstatic. You know, in the material world, things tend to be, it's very difficult to keep things going, it's a big effort. But in the spiritual world, things are ecstatic. And we see in the pastimes in the 10th canto of the gopis, with their relationship with Krishna, they're completely perfect beings. Well, not exactly. Some of them are naturally nitya siddhas, but others are not on that platform. But, you know, for the purpose of this particular example, we can say they're on that platform. And Krishna is increasing their devotion. Is one thing, is actually purifying those who are not quite ready to take that post completely. Just like when Krishna blew his flute, then the gopis were so attracted by the sound, they developed so much affection. It wasn't that the husband started running towards Krishna. You know, they hadn't developed that attraction. But the gopis, they started immediately, dropped everything. But some of them, even though they'd gone through so much purification, they weren't ready to meet Krishna. And so, you know, Krishna had to arrange a situation where because their desire, there was a little bit of doubt in the mind. And so the husbands on that premise could hold them back. And then it says that afterwards he really regretted it. Oh, God. Has anybody had that feeling? What a mistake. If only, this is the material world. If only. And that, but the difference is when we feel that in spiritual life, it purifies. And so that constant remorse. Does anybody feel remorse? Sometimes. You know, remorse. This is good. Because then that means we're in a good situation to put things right. What's the next stage down if we don't take to remorse? The one which can't be put right? Regret. Regret, maybe. Regret, remorse. There's one other, I can't think of the name. It's said in the Bhagavad Gita, we're not, even if one can't follow all the principles of devotional service, if he's not, what's the word? Resentful, that's it. If he's not resentful, this means this is material. That we wanted to actually, you know, be the best. And now we resent the fact that we can't actually do it. Remorse means the opposite. Remorse means that, you know, we feel bad that we couldn't serve Krishna properly. It's not nothing about ourselves. So remorse is good in. So Krishna's doing this with the, you know, the primary gopis, the ones who have become the Devakanyas, they call them. They wanted to associate with Krishna. and the, what's the other ones? The Gopi Kanyas, that's the ones who were liberated. And then the, what's the Sages Kanyas, what's that? Rishi Kanyas. Rishichari Gopi. And so, but even if you're actually a gopi, full, you know, you've got the full qualification, Krishna's still purifying. Because when Krishna blew his flute and the gopis came, he started, he wasn't so straightforward. Krishna's known as not being so straightforward. And he said, can I help you? Can you imagine? They just left everything. In the Vedic age, 5,000 years ago, if a woman's outside the house for a few hours, especially through the night, then the husband can reject her. And so they left everything in the middle of the night and they come to see Krishna and he speaks to them like that. And anyway, he was encouraging them to defeat him in debate. And he kept putting forward certain arguments. And eventually they said, look, you are the father of all living entities. You're the husband of everybody. What's the wrong in coming to see you? And so Krishna had to admit defeat. And so then the Rasa dance was performed. And even that wasn't the end of it. So it's going on like that, devotional service is emotional. Sometimes we feel down, sometimes we feel up, but the downs are far better than any up in this world. Because there's a connection with Krishna. And the same applies in this world, that we're trying to attach everything to Krishna. There's a shadow, isn't there? Has anybody seen a shadow? Put your hands up. They're still alive. So the shadow, when you're kids, you start to jump on somebody's shadow. I've got you now. And then he just moves and it's gone. So that's this material world. But, what is the real thing is the person who the shadow has been reflected from. So this is describing the Bhagavatam in the seed verses. We have to see that the shadow of this material world is connected to reality. And that's our constant endeavour, because we can't really see reality. Not with these blunt senses anyway. Tasri Krishna Namadi, Namavet Graham Indriya, Sevamukhi Jivro, Swayameva Spirachya. We have to perform devotional service. And it starts with the tongue. But it mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what's that verse? Just I'll find it in a minute. There's one verse. Lost the momentum now. Oh, here we are. Twam bhakti yoga paribhavita ritsaroja ase srutekshita pato nanuvarta pumsham yadyat diyo ta uragaya vibhava yanti tad tad vapur pranayase sadanugrahaya. And the translation is, oh my lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. And thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in a particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So actually think of me, Krishna, speaking. So, what is it? What's this saying? It's saying that according to our desire, Krishna manifests. And he manifests not directly inside. This doesn't come while, while perfection of life, while prema comes. But he comes through the bona fide process of shrutekshita, by hearing. By hearing, we can actually see. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they're not on that platform. They're on a much higher platform. They're having, Krishna's partially manifesting at some point as their child, and then as their devotion grows, then he manifests a little bit deeper, and then eventually he manifests himself fully as Shyama Sundar Krishna. Well, not Shyama Sundar, Vasudeva Krishna. So how do we develop devotion? Here we say by hearing. This is one process. What's the others? Chanting, yes. That's hearing as well. Shravanam Kirtanam. Smaranam. And hearing and chanting, then smaranam, then what else? Parasevanam service, we'll get there eventually. Parasevanam. Archanam. I worship in the deity. Because we're talking about, you know, Vasudeva and Devaki actually seeing Krishna. And so, you know, one helpful process is to be able to see Krishna in the deity form. In the Jiva Dharma, there was one conversation between Mula Sahib. Sahib is a respectable person, I think. The Mula Sahib came on his horse with all the other Mulas, and they came to the Vaishnav settlement, and they wanted a debate with the Vaishnavs there. And one saw all the Vaishnavs. They put Gaurachandra forward to give the answers to the Mula Sahib's questions. And he was asking about this point, because in the Muslim scriptures, they don't accept the form of the Lord. Why? Because any form of the Lord, it's within the material, it's material. And, you know, by worshipping that material form, we become more materially engrossed. And so the Sahib started asking questions along these lines, and I just wrote two of them down so that we can see what the answers are, what the Gaurachandra gave. Mula Sahib, is it not better to worship in the mind? You know, and then we know we're not looking at an idol. We're not trying to see Krishna in the idol. And we have material senses, so we won't really see the proper form of the idol or the deity. And so Gaurachandra replied, the mind is also material. You know, something so simple, and he completely smashed him straight away. The mind is also material. You know, if you try to conceive something in the mind, it'll definitely have been thinking about material things. You know, for millions of births, what are you going to think about all of a sudden spirit like that? No, you'll think of a material thing. He says, so we put, you know, the deity is there for the neophytes who've got some common sense. You know, those are a little bit serious. And so the mind is also material and is habituated to seeing even spirit as matter. That is the only experience of the mind. So anyway, the next question, Mula Sahib. How can we perceive the Lord in the deity with conditioned senses? So, okay, the mind, all the senses, so how can we perceive? I mean, we must all have that experience of that. I personally, you know, we look at the deity and, you know, we hear the description in the Bhagavatam, you know, his shining face and, it's like, this is Krishna. No, you know, it's like we have to really think about it, you know, is this Krishna? I once brought somebody in the temple, and a new person came to a new Westerner came, and I brought him in the temple, and I was looking at the deity, and I thought he'll be really, you know, taken aback by the opulence. Then we went outside and said, so what do you think to the deity? He says, what deity? You know, he hadn't seen it. He'd just seen the flowers. It's in a gorgeously decorated altar. So we went back in and said, oh, yeah. So this is like our gradual progression. First we may never even see the deity. And then, you know, we start to see the deity, but do we actually see Krishna? And so Gaurachandra Babaji answers, remember the question? How can we perceive the Lord in the deity with conditioned senses? The deity... that by deity service and association of pure devotees, one can gradually realize the transcendental form of the Lord. So it's a process. You know, we're performing devotional service, and you know, the deity is helping us to focus, helping us to perceive something in the mind which is actually factual. This is according to Shastra, it's not according to the mind. I remember once Krishna Dharma in Manchester, I was just going to go out on Sankirtan, and for some reason he must have been reading some particular section about deity worship, and he must have got about a bit worried about me, I think, because he said, you know, we'd only got Panchatattva picture. He says, which deity do you meditate on? And I says, well, I like this picture of Krishna in this book here. You know, I sometimes think about that. He says, oh, okay. I suppose, you know, if you're doing books, you have to meditate on the books. And, you know, that was like 20 years ago, maybe longer. And then about two or three years ago, I listened to a class by... I weren't going to go to the class, and I just came in at the point when it was Malati. She was talking about, she was instrumental in the installation of Radha Gokulananda. And she took a picture of Radha Gokulananda slightly from the side, and she put it on the way to Krishna book. So actually, the deity I was, by Krishna's arrangement, the deity I was looking at, it was Radha Gokulananda. I didn't even know. So, you know, Krishna's making arrangements. We don't have to worry about... The main thing is we're engaged in service. So, you know, we all have a particular attraction for a particular deity or a particular form of the Lord. So that's what this verse is saying, that by hearing, that attraction will eventually become manifested before us. We're talking about deity worship because, I mean... Maybe not so many of us are capable of seeing Krishna directly. Maybe some, I don't know. Like Vasudeva and Devaki. So we're trying to be a little practical with this particular talk. Once Prabhupada was giving class, and he asked one of his disciples to give class, that's right. And he was saying, I think I said mentioned this before, he said that Krishna is in the deity. And then Prabhupada stopped the class immediately. And he says, which part of the deity is Krishna in? And, you know, the devotee knew he couldn't, he'd been checkmate. If he tried to answer, Prabhupada would just like to put him more into a corner. Because, you know, but if probably any other devotee had asked, he'd probably wangled his way out of it, you know. So Prabhupada said, no, that is Krishna in the deity. That is Krishna. Krishna is the deity. Who thinks Krishna's in the deity? Put your hand up. Who thinks that's Krishna? Who's realised that's Krishna? Oh, Srinivas. Yeah, I'm very careful. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. This is the point, is that, you know, Krishna's revealing himself as Shyama Sunda according to one's vision, and one vision is purified by the process of devotional service. Lord appears. How does the Lord? What is the particular mercy that? What is the mercy called by which Krishna appears to us? It's mentioned in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, "Atma Mayaya, by my mercy, Ajopisanav by Atma, Bhutanam Ishvarobisan, Prakritim Stan Adishaya, Sambhavatme." Atma Maya, by my mercy, we're able to see Krishna. So I was reading the Bhagavatam just a little bit further on from this, and it starts to explain Krishna's mercy. Krishna, it's the seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. I'll read it word verbatim because it's a very nice section. Is that okay? So Krishna says to Uddhava, this is the purport actually, this is the purport to this particular verse. The sincere servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are vigorously endeavouring to spread this Krishna consciousness movement for the pleasure of their spiritual master and Lord Krishna. At the present time, thousands of devotees in the Krishna conscious movement in all parts of the world are working long hours under difficult conditions to distribute transcendental literature and thus enlighten the general populace. In this effort, the devotees have no personal motivation but are simply desirous of pleasing their spiritual masters by distributing his books. The people who receive the literature usually have no previous experience of Krishna consciousness, yet they are so impressed by the purity of the devotees that they meet that they eagerly purchase the books and magazines. In order to execute the tremendous task of spreading Krishna consciousness, the devotees are tirelessly labouring day and night because they are on the platform of loving devotion. Although superficially such busy devotees may occasionally not think directly of the lotus feet of Krishna. I'll read this again. Although superficially such busy devotees may occasionally not directly think of the lotus feet of Krishna, such loving devotion will undoubtedly take them back to Krishna, lotus feet. And being pleased by their service, the Lord himself will again arouse their unflinching meditation upon his form, Atmamaya. This is the beauty of Bhakti Yoga, which depends wholly and solely on the mercy of the all-merciful personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This is the only totally safe means of uprooting the deep desire for material enjoyment. Attaining pure love for Krishna and going beyond the material universe to the kingdom of God, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2:40. So this is the process, actually. So Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is non-different from deity worship. You know, if we're performing book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, any type of outreach preaching, it's actually deity worship. Why? Because we see the deity, we see Krishna according to how we please him. And in this day and age, we please Krishna the most by preaching. You know, if he says that in the end of the 18th chapter. Even Prabhupada said, if we're worshipping the deity and a guest comes, what do we do? You know, we immediately put the chamra down or whatever we're offering. It seems like a fault. But no. You know, we go straight to the door and so preaching is the essence of this movement. And the deity is there to encourage us to preach. Sometimes we get it the wrong way around. Sometimes we think that, of course, deity worship is so important. But we should be conscious that when we preach, it is deity worship. Yeah, and then we can achieve the perfection of life. In seeing the deity, would anybody like to hear what it's like to see the deity in perfection? This is a verse by Kapila Muni to his to his mother, Devahuti. Paschanti te me ruchirani amba shanto. Prashanta, anyway, I can't read it because I got it out of the folio and it's been put on this page and it's not really Sanskrit anymore. It's like some other unusual language. Oh, my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form with eyes like the rising moon, like the rising sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent, and they also talk favourably with me. So Prabhupada says in that purport is that this is when we're very advanced, that Krishna does speak to the devotee. The whole process of devotional service ultimately is to be absorbed in Krishna, absorbed in his service or absorbed in his pastimes. And this is explained in the seed verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Matchita matkata prana bodhayasa parasparam katayantastamam nitya tushyanchita romanticha. So, you know, beginning is the thoughts of my devotees are always actually dwelling in me, and their activities are always dedicated to me. And by that, thinking of Krishna and dedicating our service to Krishna, then it becomes very, very pleasing to the devotee. They are feeling always happy in devotional service. So the process of Krishna consciousness basically is... first is deity service. Well, first actually there's hearing. We hear the process in India is that we go to the temple. You know, everybody, you know, most people go to the temple, and then some people who don't, they see others going to the temple, and they automatically go to the temple, and they gradually become attracted in that way. And then they ask for benedictions from the deity. They may put some coins in the box, and gradually the devotion starts to develop. But our process is by, first we hear. We hear about the process of devotional service from a devotee, and then we go to the temple. So deity service is the beginning. It's also the end in one respect, but it's the beginning for somebody who's not advanced in devotional service. And then what's the next process? What's the next thing we do? We start to render some service to the deity. And so what standard of what platform do we come to of worship then? It's super soul. When we're engaged in devotional service, we start to see that actually, you know, there's things going off in this service that are beyond my ability to understand. We see that there's another energy working. So that's, we start to become conscious of Krishna in his in our activities. And then eventually Bhagavan realization. We start to see Krishna in the purview of our activities. And then eventually we see Krishna directly. So this is described in the Madhuri Kadambani about, you know, we go all the way through the process of devotional service. And then eventually we come to the process of Bhava Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti means we see Krishna in the heart. Spurti, they call it. We see Krishna in the heart. We don't actually see him with the eyes. We remember, in other words, remembrance of Krishna. Yeah, when we remember Krishna, this is Krishna in the heart, when we're constantly remembering Krishna. But it's not until we come to the stage of Prema Bhakti that we see Krishna completely. And this process says, what's the thing that attracts Krishna to appear before us? What does he want to see in his devotee? You know, it's like, you know, the Beatles. You know, there's thousands of screaming girls outside, screaming their heads off. And nobody was about in them times, was there? There's not many people from that era, you know. But, you know, it showed you when they went to America. They filled a football stadium of about, you know, 80,000 people. And they're all women screaming at these four superstars. And then sometimes they'd be outside their apartment, and they'd be shouting and screaming. And so eventually, what would happen? What would happen? Come on. What would happen? You know, the Beatles are inside, right? There's all these people outside. We want to see you. Screaming away, you know. What would they eventually do? Come out, yeah. We're here, look, we're here. All that crowd, they were eager. So is anybody that eager to see Krishna yet? So it's eagerness. And so this is mentioned in the Madhuri Kadambini, that when one is really eager, you know, you think, oh, and then Krishna suddenly appears, oh! And just like Lord Chaitanya on the beach at Jagannath Puri, he goes running towards Krishna when he's gone. And, you know, he goes to he gets the exact opposite sentiment, spiritual sentiment, of course. And then Krishna appears, oh, and he's off again. So gradually we're being put to that situation. And then eventually when Krishna sees, he's ready, he appears. First of all in his form, we see Krishna's form, and it's just too much, we pass out. And then we hear his voice, or smell his aroma, and we've gone again. And then we hear, what is it, the next one? We hear his voice, and then his touch. And then if Krishna says, okay, and he appears in his full manifestation. And he says, just like a chataka bird. You know a chataka bird, it's trying to catch a... There's a thunderstorm, and there's a little chataka bird with a little beak trying to catch all the water. It's impossible for him to experience Krishna. So then Krishna gives the mercy. He gives him prema. And then he can experience Krishna completely. So this is what was happening to Vasudeva and Devaki. Externally, they were getting realization of... They were seeing Krishna in his partial form, Prishnagarbha and Sutapa, and then Aditi and Kashyapa. And eventually, by devotional service, they became so eager to see, to actually see Krishna in his original transcendental form, is that he appeared in that form. So that's it. Srutekshita, that Krishna appears in the form of which we've always meditated on him throughout our lives. And even if we've been doing book distribution, Krishna will give his mercy at the end of life also for that, for being pleased by our transcendental loving service. So, anyway, it's half past. We can stop there. Does anybody have any comments or questions?